Revelation 12, two verses I'll read this morning. I developed a message with a long version and a short version. When I'm done, you can figure out which one I preached. Really, I just cannot emphasize enough about tonight. I just can't say enough about it. Candy said, I can't wait to get there. I said, that's all you've talked about. I said, well, I guess the good thing is, you know, when you've been there and your heart's already on fire for something, you know what's coming, but then you can't tell everyone because you don't want to ruin it for them. But you don't want to miss tonight, that's for sure. Revelation 12, we know that this is the chapter that deals with the woman that is about to give birth to the blessing. I've dealt with this chapter many times, and every time that I deal with anything out of the book of Revelation, now, there's more scholars on the book of Revelation than anything else. You don't believe it, just ask them. I get extended emails, you know, because I want to say this to you. I've been to school. I've got a few degrees. And I know what to tell professors what they want to hear. But I know most of what professors want to hear and what you really need to hear are two separate things. And you don't need to understand this as a theologian. You just need to understand it as a person that's in the battle of life, knowing that God in this chapter was trying to give a blessing. And there was an enemy, the dragon, the old serpent, the devil as we know him, that tried to first abort that blessing, and then after that the blessing came, still tried to destroy the blessing. See, in life, it's all about battles and blessings. You fight to get a blessing, and you fight to keep a blessing. But let me add this. We focus too much on the battle, and we don't tell people enough how sweet the blessing is. The blessing is always worth the battle. I don't care what you are fighting. I don't care what you are going through. I don't care the trials in your life. I know some of you have come in today brokenhearted that loved ones have died and some on the verge of death. And you're going through a lot of different things in your life. And there's a multitude of battles that people are fighting right here in this congregation this morning. But I promise you, the blessings that the Lord gives us is worth every trial, every heartache, every sorrow, and then at the end to make it to heaven where God will make all the wrongs right, that makes it all worthwhile. So don't be weary with your battles. But that's what's happening. And this is the victor's chapter. It tells us how to become overcomers. And the Bible says in Revelation 12:10, and I heard a loud voice saying in heaven, now is come salvation and strength, and the kingdom of our God and the power of His Christ. For the accuser of our brethren is cast down. Hallelujah. Oh, glory. Oh, I'm about to have a spell. That's the devil. I don't care what commentary you go through, how confused you get. That's the devil. He is not going to win. He's already a defeated foe. Bring whatever he can into our life. His sentence has already been cast down. And the Lord has won the victory through Jesus Christ. And when he's finally cast down, I want to be in the grandstands of glory to shout, hurrah for Jesus! He's cast down, which accused them before our God day and night. You know, the rabbis say that he accuses before God day and night, every day of every year, except one day. You know what day the rabbis taught in times past and still teach that the accuser does not accuse the brethren before God? Do you know what day it is? The Day of Atonement. He loses his voice when the blood is applied. He gets laryngitis. He wants to say something, but he can't. Lockjaw's got him. Because the power of the blood's greater than that. You think that's true? Well, verse 11 says, and they have overcame him blood of the Lamb and the word of their testimony. And they loved not their lives unto the death. They overcame Him. I think that you have to see, now you know the battle, but we see the victory that's won here. You know, the victors all fought with the same weapons. Two weapons they had, and really this is strange, but the two are one. The two weapons are really one weapon. They overcame Him first by the blood of the Lamb. That's the blood of Jesus Christ Himself. I'm glad I still go to a church that preaches and teaches, not ashamed of the blood of Christ. We still sing songs about the blood, and we still testify about the blood, still preach about the blood, still worship and praise God for the blood that Jesus shed on Calvary, because we really know that the blood of the Lamb gave them everything that they needed. It gave them salvation. It gave them strength. It gave them standing. That's all in the first verse that I read you. And by the way, the blood of the Lamb gives me everything that I need to come against the devil, no matter what he does in our life. Our salvation is in the blood. Our strength is in the blood. My standing in the family of God is in the blood. We know without the preaching of the blood of Jesus Christ and the shedding of the blood, there is no remission for sin. The blood gave them everything they needed, and they had the blood of the Lamb, and they possessed all the privileges that came with the blood of the Lamb. There are certain privileges we have through His blood that we can overlook if we're not careful. Because He died for us, there are certain privileges we have that we would not have otherwise. I could never claim myself as being a part of the family of God had it not been for the blood of the Lamb. Really, all my worship is in vain if it isn't for the blood of the Lamb. Every now and then the family of God sings the song, "I claim the blood." You know, a fellow told me one time, said, "I cringe." Sat right there in this church, told me after, said, "I cringe when they sing that song." And I said, "Why do you cringe?" He said, "Because it makes it sound like we have some kind of power." I said, "We do." Our healing is through the blood of the Lamb. Our salvation is through the blood of the Lamb. It all goes back. We're not taking any glory from God. We're recognizing that all of our resources come from the blood of the Lamb. By the blood of the Lamb, they overcame the accuser of the brethren. They overcame Him by the blood of the Lamb and by the word of their testimony. What is the testimony of the saints? In the Greek context, to put it in layman's terms, they had a testimony because of the blood of the Lamb. On account of the blood of the Lamb, they had a testimony. In other words, you don't have a testimony. I don't want to hear your testimony if you don't know about the blood of the Lamb. Because you really don't have a testimony. I think sometimes what we consider testimonies is more money. I mean, this isn't about the blues this morning. I'm not an unrealistic preacher. I probably deal with death as much as anyone in here, and I deal with people with cancer and sickness and heartache and pain. I deal with all of that. But you know what? I get three chances a week to step inside this sanctuary and to be under the shelter of the blood of the Lamb and look to people that have trusted the Lord and know what the blood has brought them through, and every now and then to hear their testimony. This week, while I was down in Moorhead, every now and then you just get one that it bears repeating. There was a lady stood up on Thursday night. And when she stood up, she was somewhat reserved. She spoke with a low voice and she began to testify. She said, "You know, several years ago, I started coming to this church, and then a few years ago, she said, I came forward to the altar, and I knelt down, and I prayed, and they took me through the plan of salvation, and she said, and I said everything they wanted to say, and she said, I followed all of the things they asked me to do, and she said, but constantly in the back of my heart, there was a gnawing. It was like a fear. If I died, do I really know the Lord? She said, it just ate at me, and it ate at me. She was kind enough to bring me a copy of a newspaper clipping from a year ago from their local news. Actually, it was on my wife's birthday a year ago. I was looking this morning on January the 26th. She's driving to work, 8 o'clock in the morning. Leela Nickel is her name. And 17 degrees outside, and she lost control of her car. The tire went over the off the berm. And when she tried to recover, she thinks she overcompensated. And long story short, she lost control. And her vehicle wound up on top of a frozen pond. And she can't swim. She heard the ice crack. And the car began to sink. And the first thing she did was she said, oh God, save me. She said, something said, hit the power windows. And I thought, it won't work. The car's going down. But the window went down. She crawled out on top of the car sinking. And on the way out, she was hitting the horn, screaming. But she was over the embankment, and no one could see her. No one could hear her. No one knew she'd gone off the road. Not a soul around. Gone down. And she says, when I hit that icy water, she said, it almost took my breath, but I could get one more thing out. And I said, God, if you don't save me, I'm going to die. She doesn't know how it happened, but when she flailed her arm, she felt cattails that were frozen, she found out later. And she grabbed those cattails and started to pull herself back up to the shoreline. And soon she was on the shoreline, cold. She ran up the embankment, not realizing she had several injuries. She had hit her chest and had broken her wrist. They feel probably trying to break the ice where she was trying to come through the ice. But she finally got to the top of the embankment, and a gentleman stepped out of his car, had stopped for no apparent reason. And he walked to the edge and reached down and picked her up, took his coat off, wrapped it around her. They were on a back country road. He took her to the home, and there his wife prepared a warm bath for her, and they discovered her injuries. But in this report, what I like best is where she makes the statement, I cried for the Lord to save me. And He did. And the gentleman who picked me up, his name is Fred Angel. So God saved me and sent an angel to pick me up. I want to tell you something. All of us in life, we one day were sinking in the miry pit of sin. But somewhere along the way, someone told us about the precious blood of Jesus and that Christ died on Calvary for our sin. And somehow we mustered up the strength to say, Lord, save me. One day He's going to send an angel to pick me up. Where's that in the Bible? Well, we read where Lazarus was carried by the angels in Abraham's bosom. I don't know how I'll die. I don't know when I'll die. But I believe I'll have a heavenly escort. And in that hour, should my faith begin to waver and wonder, do you know the way home? I'll hear another sweet voice. It'll be the voice of the Lamb of God that died on Calvary that says, how I've traveled this valley, and I know the way to life everlasting. Thank God He will save us if we cry out and trust the blood. I don't mean to sound judgmental this morning, but sometimes it concerns me that only 8 or 10 of our people seem to have a testimony. I want to tell you something. Now, I've been raised in church. And usually if you have a problem in the church, let me tell you where it'll come from. It'll come from somebody that's been in the church for years and years that has gotten too far away from their experience at the cross. Almost always, if I get to the bottom of the division in a church, you will find that there will be one side that while they might be correct in their theology and they might be proper in their structure and their organization, when you begin to talk to them, all they can talk about is their accomplishments and their doings. But you seldom hear them take you back to the day that they met Christ as their personal Savior. Your testimony is not about what you have done or where you have been or the direction that you're going. Your testimony should always make a beeline back to Calvary and the old rugged cross and the Lamb of God that died on Calvary. Without the blood, we have no testimony. If I picked you out of this crowd this morning and said, would you care to stand and tell me about when you were saved, could you do it? Amen. Amen. When I started preaching, I used to really be wild. I mean, I still am. It's still in here. I just can't get these moving the way I want all the time. Run out of strength and energy. But I remember a fellow come to me and he told me one time, he said, you go at it about another 8 or 10 years. He said, you'll slow down. You'll get over it. I don't know. 32 years now I've been preaching about the cross. I'm still not over it. In fact, I don't believe I'll get over it, even when I get to glory. Because when finally He'll give me a chance to say something and give you a chance to say something, and all the redeemed, this is your opportunity. What do you have to say for your life? Do you know what you're going to say? Worthy is the Lamb that was slain from the foundation of the world. For all power and honor and glory and dominion belongs to the Lamb that sits upon the throne. Our testimony is always about the Lamb of God and the blood the Lamb shed that we might be saved. Without that, we don't have a testimony. By the way, I need to say this. She started out reserved, but by the time she finished that testimony, she said, one thing I can tell you for sure, the devil never haunts me anymore. There's never a gnawing anymore. Because I can stand and tell you I am saved, and I know that I'm saved and on my way to heaven. Does that excite you today that the Lord would save a wretch like us and change our life and make us a new person? Is there anything exciting about that to you that makes me every now and then want to get on my feet and shout, glory, 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 I'm saved, and I know that I'm saved and going to heaven? Do you know you're saved? Are you sure you're saved? You don't know it. You need to know it. More than anything in this world. See, some of you can get over it in 30 seconds. I can't. Oh, bless the Lord. That's the testimony. That's the testimony. I was a wicked sinner, but He saved me. How did He save you, Russ? By the blood of the Lamb. Without Jesus, we cannot be saved. Do you have a testimony? Are you a little nervous right now? This is what it's all about, folks. Being saved and knowing that you're saved. If you don't know it, it don't mean anything. I've said it a lot. Testimony that probably stuck to me more than anything. One of the dear old saints, elderly saints in Brother Duncan's church, years ago got real sick. Sent her to the hospital. Running all kinds of tests. And Roger walked in early one morning. Said, "How you doing?" She said, "I don't feel real good, preacher." She said, "But everything's all right in my soul." Said, "I've been talking to the Lord and everything's just fine." He said, "Well, they're running tests. Have they found out anything?" She had a faraway look in her eye. And finally she said, "Well, I guess we'll just have to wait and see what the blood has to say." Oh, glory. Many of you gone to the doctor. I went on Friday. They drew blood and I sit there and wait to see what that blood has to say. And I'm always in doubt, you know. They have to adjust your medicine here, change things there. The blood will tell on you. If you're diabetic, you can try to tell everybody you want to. Well, you figure out the right time to check your sugar. You know, you get up, some of you fast from midnight till 6 o'clock every morning. You know the right time to check your sugar. But you know, when they do one of those blood tests on you, it goes back 3 months and tells the truth. They'll adjust what's needed to take care of it. And you know, sometimes I sit there and sweat it because I think I've done everything they said, but maybe I missed a dose, or maybe I did this, and maybe I did that. But you know what? One of these days when I get to heaven and the devil says he can't get in and he's not allowed in, I remember when he did this and I remember when he did that. Now, I'm not sure what my blood would have to say, but I'm sure what the blood of the Lamb has to say. And when the books are open, there'll be nothing recorded there. The record will be clean. And this is my testimony. I've been saved.